we don't struggle with information. You can turn on your computer, your iPhones, you can turn on whatever, and you could be filled, overfilled with information. And this information that we get, it just kind of hits us and hits us and hits us. We don't struggle with information. We struggle with application. What are we going to do about what we hear? And that's the tension that Jesus addresses in one of his most powerful closing statements in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's where we're going to land today. He doesn't end with inspiration. Hey, go and do these things. He ends with a decision. What are you going to do with what I've just said? What are you going to do with what I just said? A key point that I want us to understand this morning is a strong life is not built on hearing Jesus' words. Many of us have heard Jesus' words from the time we were little. We know the stories. We know the parables. We know the things that Jesus said. It's not on that, on hearing them. It's the struggle for us is obeying his word. And so we're going to be in Matthew today, Matthew 7. Verses 24 through 27. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Here's the word of God. Everyone who hears these words of mine, and that's Jesus, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus gives us a picture of two builders here. One, two houses, two builders, two foundations, but there's only one storm. And the difference between them is not knowledge. They all knew how to build a house. They all knew storm was coming. It was obedience. The first thing Jesus says, everyone hears, but not everyone obeys. This is what he says in verse 24, the first part. Everyone who hears these words of mine. He says that for the wise man, and he says, if you hear these words and don't do what I say, so that man heard these words too. Both builders heard the words of Jesus. Both builders understood what was happening. This isn't the idea of believers versus unbelievers. They all heard the word of God here. This is about those that listen and then those that actually follow. Both went to church. Both heard the sermons. Both heard the teachings. Both had access to the truth. But only one acted on it. And so the key truth for us is hearing Jesus is common for all of us. We know his words. We hear his words. We read his words. Sometimes in our Bibles, they're marked in red. So you could just thumb through, read all the red words. Obeying Jesus. Obeying Jesus is what's rare. See, we live in a culture now that is full of spiritual content. There's podcasts out there. There are sermons. There are Bible apps. There are social media clips. Everywhere you turn, you can listen to pastors or preachers or teachers. But information without obedience leads to deception. In fact, Jesus' brother James puts it this way in his verse. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." James just gets to the point. Just do what it says. It's like going to the doctor. You hear the diagnosis. You receive the prescription. And you say, thank you. That's nice. And then you go out and you don't do anything. You don't take the medication. You don't get the shot. You don't listen to the doctor. Nothing changes in your life. How are you going to get better? For us, what has Jesus told us to do? What has Jesus specifically spoken to you and you felt it in your heart? God wants me to do this. What is it? What is it? Whether you're informed or not, we need to be transformed. What is God telling us to do so we lean into it and obey what he's saying to do? Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. As we read this story about these two builders, the second point I want us to understand is obedience is what builds a strong foundation. It's obedience. He says this in the last part of verse 24. Says, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man didn't just hear the words, he obeyed the words. And Jesus says, obedience is like building on a rock. So, what does that mean? What does building on the rock mean? A rock foundation, what would you think? Well, it's stable, it's safe, it's deep, it's secure. What we often miss, however, building on rock takes a lot of effort. Those of you that try to plant a garden in your Georgia soil, and it's like hardened clay, and you're digging in and chipping your lawn tools, you know. Building on rock takes more effort. You have to dig deeper. It takes longer. It's less convenient. Obedience is rarely going to be easy. Obedience is going to take some time, but it is always worth it. To obey is better than sacrifice. Contrast that with the foolish builder. He built on sand. Why did he build on sand? Well, it's easier. It's faster. It looks the same at first. Remember the story about the three pigs? They all built houses. First one built it of straw, right? What happened when the big bad wolf storm came? Washed away. Didn't take him long to throw that thatched building together. Then the second one did wood, and from what I understand, it wasn't like the hard wood that we use. It was like sticks. We're going to stick a bunch of sticks together and see what happens. Of course, the winds came, the winds blew, and it went down. The third one built with rock, built with brick. And what happened? He blew, couldn't happen, and then it ends up really bad for the wolf because it tries to come down the chimney and gets boiled alive. They never answer that part with the kids anymore. But I'm telling you, for those of you that are young people, Breck, those times in our lives, those nursery rhymes, they're all horrible stories if you dig deep into them. It's easier, it's faster, it looks the same on the outside, but it is not the same when you build your faith and your house on sand. From the outside, they look identical. You can look, for us, we can look spiritually strong on the outside. Hey, I'm in church. I even got the biggest Bible. It's the heaviest Bible. And you could still be unstable internally, missing out on what God has for you. So my question is, are we choosing what's easy? Or are we choosing what's obedient? What is God saying? It is so easy to say like, you know what? I know we have prayer on Tuesday nights, but yeah, I don't want to drive at night, so I'm not going to come. Let someone else do it. And maybe God has been pressing on you that you need to be part of the prayer team or praying from home. Maybe on our Wednesday fellowship, you're thinking like, ah, it's another night of my week. I'm just tired after working all week. I don't want to, you know, see what God has to say to me today. What is God saying in His Word? And we're in the book of Revelation, and Jesus has a lot to say. Where is God telling you to obey, to be obedient, and we're not? Where is God calling you to go deeper? I mean, that's what we want. We don't want just the surface faith. I mean, as I'm reading our prayer list is growing and growing and growing, and no one seems to come off the prayer list unless they die. It's like, oh, you know, I got a toenail that's been hurting, and we're just going to keep it on for like 8, 9, 10 weeks. And it's like, is anybody getting better? Is anybody living a joyful life? Is anybody living a life where things are getting better in your life? Or is our life just this miserable existence? Because that's not what God has called us to. Where is the power in our prayers? Where is the power in our faith? Where is the power in our spiritual life? It comes down because we're not obeying what Jesus is calling us to do. We're just going through the motions, doing surface Christianity. And the result is a great fall. The third thing I want us to understand is storms will reveal in your life what you've built on. It says this, the rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew. Notice the storm hit both houses. following Jesus will not exempt you from the storms in your life. In this world, he says, you will have trials and tribulations. Then he says, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And so have you if your faith and life is put in Christ. You're still going to experience hardship, frustration, loneliness, bitterness. You're not exempt from any of that. Difficulty, loss, pressure, pain. The difference is not in the storm. We're all going to go in the storm. We're all going to feel the storm. It's in the foundation. What's your foundation? The key truth is you don't discover what your foundation is during the good times. Because during the good times, man, we are just sailing through. It's revealed in hard times. So what was the result? The one that was built on the faith, that was built on the rock, stood firm. The house that was built on the sand fell, and it fell hard. Jesus says, great was the fall of it. And why such a strong statement? Why does he say that? Because a life built on hearing without obeying will eventually just collapse. I heard it. I know what he said to do. I just ain't gonna do it. Think about areas in your life. Think about marriages. Think about your finances. Think about integrity. Think about faith. If they are not built on obedience to Christ, then they won't hold up under pressure. If your marriage is just built on how you feel, I can tell you, you're not always going to feel joy. I do every day because I'm married to Margie, but she does, and I know. Filled with joy as long as I feel so good in this marriage. But what happens when you don't feel good? Then I'm going to trade you in. Margie's mom used to laugh. Margie's dad told her, when after they got married, he goes, you know, when you turn 40, I'm going to turn you in. I'm going to trade you in for 220s. And so it's like, Papa Dooley. It's like, you can't do that based on your feelings. But if your marriage foundation is built on Jesus, then you can weather the storms that come up in your life. Your finances. If all you're concerned about is your money, where the next paycheck's coming from, you're never going to have enough. You're always going to need more. You know, I was blessed with this, but it's just not enough if I could have this. Time, same way. Oh, if there were 28 hours in the day, well, you know what? You'd fill them up and be just as miserable as you are with 24 hours in the day. If your life is not based on Jesus Christ, Jesus is that solid rock and that foundation, and it will help you to hold up under pressure. And obedience in our life, the fourth point, is the evidence of following Jesus. Jesus is making something crystal clear here. Following him is not about agreeing with him. Hey, those are good words, Jesus. Not about emotion. I feel good. Da, 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 da. Or occasional inspiration. I mean, we all long for those mountaintop experiences where we just feel like, man, the world just fades away and we're in the presence of God. I wish we could feel that way all the time. It's about obeying. It's about obedience. If you love me, he says this in John 14, he says, if you love me, you will follow my commands. If you love me, he doesn't say, if you love me, hey, you're going to feel something. He doesn't say, if you love me, you know what, you're going to agree with me. He doesn't say, if you love me, things are going to work out so easy for you. It's going to be a walk in the park. No, what he says is, if you love me, you will obey me. You'll do what I say. If our kids really loved us, they would do what we ask them to do. And we ask them to do stuff not out of we want to be authoritarian over them. What we want to do is we love them, and we love them so much, we want them to experience life. We try to protect them from some of the mistakes that we made. I heard this, and I thought about it because, yeah, this is me. They said, when we think about our parents, when we think about our mothers and our fathers or whatever, that's just a small chapter in the book of our lives. because, you know, I'm with them maybe for the first 18 years of my life, and then I've got to do my own life. I've got to find my own way, and I find my wife, and I raise my family, and things become so busy trying to do my own life that, yeah, occasionally mom and dad will get a card, or we'll get together to eat or whatever, but that chapter is just a chapter in our lives. But if you flip that for the parent, and we think about our children, it's the whole book. As a parent, do you ever stop thinking and worrying about your kids? Never. Never. So the goal of today is not to try to make anybody feel guilty or whatever. It's about being obedient to Jesus, to being fully surrendered to Him. So where is your obedience just partial? Where is Jesus asking you in your life saying, hey, I need you to fully surrender to me? Because my fifth and final point is the next step you take matters more than this sermon. A lot of times we'll take notes on the sermon like, oh, that was a good point, that was a good point, that was a good point. That's not the goal of today. The goal of today is not more notes, it's not more knowledge, it's not more inspiration. You have all that. The goal of today is obedience. To obey, to do what He says. Are you building your house on the rock? Are you building it on the sand? What is one thing Jesus is asking you to do right now? Maybe forgive someone. Maybe it's to begin a spiritual habit. You know, spend more time in Bible study, to spend time in prayer, to spend time just contacting people, letting them know that you love them and that you're thinking about them. Maybe Jesus is impressing upon you to end some kind of sinful pattern that you've been doing in your life. And I'm not talking about those big egregious sins that we talk about. You know, maybe you haven't murdered anybody. Maybe you thought about it, but you haven't. But maybe there are things in your life, and you think of these are big. But I'm, you know, just slothfulness, just kind of sitting and vegging out when we should be doing something, or being bitter. That's a sin. Just being bitter. Maybe He is saying, you know what, trust me in an area that you've been holding back. You said you gave it to me, but then you pulled it right back. So how am I supposed to work in that, is what He might be saying to us. I don't want you to overcomplicate it. I want you to just think about it and say, God, what are you speaking to me today? Where in my life am I building on sand and not on the rock? Where in my life do I need to practice more obedience than shirking responsibility? Don't overcomplicate it, but understand that delaying your obedience is still being disobedient. So there were two people. It was the same message. It was different responses, and they were different outcomes. One house stood, one house fell. And the difference was not what they heard or what they experienced. It was what they did with that knowledge. And so today you have a choice. Will you be like someone who hears the words of Jesus, or will you be like someone who follows Jesus? Because following means that we obey Him. Father, I pray that today you speak to us in a mighty way. Reveal in our lives where we are disobedient, where we tend to try to work it out in our own strength and our own power. And, you know, Father, we know a better way, a shorter way. We're going to make this work. Father, help us to just turn our lives over to you completely. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to be the people that you have called us to be, that you would give us the strength to obey when obeying is difficult, that you would remind us of your love. And as always, Father, we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.